This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us this morning, we have attorney John Day, and we're going to be talking about legal things happening here locally and I guess around the country, and one of those things being contracts and hiring a lawyer. John, how are you this morning?
Great, Scott. I hope you are.
I'm good. A little more chilly out there each day. Does it not seem like that?
Yes, but I'm ready for it. I mean, it is. It feels good. I just wish we had a little more sunshine today, but it's. I'm ready for fall.
You know, I like the cooler weather.
I just was in Boise, Idaho this weekend and walking around downtown. It was 65 degrees. The sun was out. Half the leaves were on the ground. The other half were on the trees. It was absolutely fantastic, you know, walking around that beautiful city and walking through the leaves. It was great.
I don't think I've ever been to Boise, Idaho.
I had not been to Boise itself before, and I was only there for 17 hours, but I did have a chance to walk around downtown and tour the state capitol and do that sort of thing.
That sounds interesting.
Well, it was. I went out there. I had to give a speech Saturday night to a group of lawyers out there, and as I said, I got in at 12:30 Mountain Time, and I left the next morning at 6:05. So I was in and out.
Almost like a layover.
Yes. I have had longer layovers in Chicago.
I've had those that I didn't mean to have.
Correct.
Something occurred, and next thing you know, you're spending the night.
That is correct. We've been there.
Yeah. So in the legal world, I know there's a lot of people out there who have gotten injured, who've gotten hurt doing one thing or another, and it may have been somebody else's fault. And one of the things I'm sure they think about is, should I hire an attorney?
Right. And, of course, I am a personal injury wrongful death attorney, so my bias is going to show here for a moment. But I think most people would benefit from at least talking to an experienced personal injury or wrongful death attorney in those circumstances and getting an understanding of what their rights are. I mean, we field those calls every single day from people. We don't charge for that kind of conversation, and we can help explain to people what their rights are and how the legal process works, and then you can make a more informed decision of whether you need a lawyer in your particular case or not.
I think a lot of times, let's say somebody gets hurt in a store, they slip and fall, which would be the typical example of a need for an attorney, and they often think, I really don't want to hire an attorney. They were so nice to me after it happened. They just, you know, I don't want to do that. But there's a whole lot of reasons, a lot more reasons why you probably should seek professional help than you shouldn't.
Well, in that particular circumstances, that is slipping on a floor at a store or tripping over something at a store, it's really critical to talk to a lawyer promptly, because there is a high degree of likelihood that that incident was caught on video. Stores have no obligation to have video. They have no obligation to maintain it unless they're asked to do it. And best to ask them to do that in writing. So what we would tell anybody who called us about a potential slip and fall case, even if they didn't hire us, they just wanted to understand their rights, is we would say the first thing you should do is make an effort to have that video preserved, and not just the video of the incident itself, but of the hour or so before the incident. Here's why, Scott. In order to prove that a store is responsible for a, say, slip and fall, you have to prove that the store created the hazard that caused the fall, or you have to be able to prove that the store knew or reasonably should have known about the hazard. And in other words, they should have fixed it or warned you about it. It's hard to prove that the store created the condition for the fall. So spilled milk on aisle 5, okay? Is that the store's responsibility? Well, it could be. One of their employees could have spilled milk on aisle 5. But it's much more likely, since milk is on aisle 9, that some customer spilled milk on aisle 5. What you want to be able to do is prove when that milk was spilled, right?
Yeah.
And how long the store had to identify the problem and fix or warn it. So That's why you want a longer period of video available if you can get it, because it will show how the hazard was created, how long it was there, were there any store employees that walked by it and didn't do anything to fix the problem or alert customers of the hazard. That's the sort of video you want to get. So some people think, geez, I just want to be able to prove that I fell. All I need is a video of the fall. That's helpful. It's not enough. You need a longer period of video, if it's available, to prove notice. That is, the store knew or should have known of the problem. And that's something that a lawyer can help you with. And hopefully I just helped somebody right now.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I'm going to jump ahead, but before we get to that point where we sign the contract with the lawyer we choose, probably this is going to happen. You know, you're going to go to the hospital, get treated, whatever the case is, and then you're going to get a phone call. At least if it's a big chain store, big retailer, you're probably going to get a phone call from somebody who is with that company, and they're going to ask you maybe a lot of questions. What should you do when you first get that phone call?
My recommendation would be to dodge the phone call. I would not accept that phone call for this reason. Number one, if the injury is serious, you're probably taking some sort of pain medication. So when you're being asked questions about what happened, you may not be 100%. And therefore, you could make a mistake. Number two, you have no duty to answer any questions from the store calling you. Sometimes it's to your advantage to do it, but not without appropriate preparation. Number three, if the decision is made to give them information, then you're going to want to be prepared for that conversation. And an experienced personal injury lawyer can help you anticipate what is going to be asked. And they're not going to tell you what the answers to those questions are. That would be cheating. What they're going to do is help prepare you for the questions and how to frame your answers in a way that is truthful and can not come back to haunt you later. Let me give you a classic example. Some people in this situation will give a taped interview to a claims representative for the store, and they will say, "I don't know what happened."
Now, it's important to remember, too, though, the person who's calling you, they're probably not, you know, the manager of the store who is so nice, who is so friendly, who helped you that day. It could be some law firm in New York, could be their legal department based in, I don't know, California somewhere. It's not the local person who helped you out, who is so friendly to come to your aid.
Well, and they're also trained question answer askers, right? So this is what they do for a living. And just like lawyers, I plead guilty to this. We know how to get answers to questions that favor our client.
Makes sense.
That's what we're trained to do. And under our legal system, that's perfectly appropriate. When a store calls and has a trained professional examine you over the phone, they're not cheating. They're not doing anything unethical. But they have an objective, and their objective is, number one, get information, and number two, get information that will hurt your potential case or help their defense.
Yeah.
That's their mission. And once again, nothing wrong with it, but that's their mission. I suggest that people who are seriously injured would benefit from the help of a lawyer to explain how that process works and to prepare you for those sort of questions if the decision is made to cooperate at all.
You know, and the situation of what occurred, we'll go to the extreme. Let's say a grocery aisle, the actual steel bookcase or shelf that was put together wasn't put together correctly and it falls over on you. You know, that would be the extreme. That would be painful. But that's not right. It shouldn't have happened to you. Somebody is at fault. Somebody didn't put all 10 screws in, whatever the case may be. But
right.
you have to think to yourself, I shouldn't be in this scenario. I should not be in all this pain. I shouldn't have to go to work and tell my boss I can't do this job anymore because I can't stand on my feet anymore all day. But those are the outcomes of a lot of cases. You know, somebody gets hurt and they're injured in a way that they're permanently disabled.
Yeah, we've had people who have slipped and fallen that ended up with hip surgery and then later a hip replacement. I mean, there are minor injuries and there are catastrophic injuries in this circumstance. And people just need to take a step back, think about the long-term consequences of what they say and do in this situation, and get the benefit of legal advice. Once again, I've acknowledged my bias. This is what I do for a living. But we have these conversations with people over the phone every single day at no charge and give people a little guidance. We're happy to do it. It would be unwise not to take advantage of that.
Attorney John Day in studio with us this morning. After the person who is injured talks to you on the phone, they set up an appointment, they come in, they say, I feel really comfortable with him. I think I'm going to go with him to better represent me in this whole case. What happens after that conversation? Do you pull out a contract and say, here's what we're doing?
Yes. I mean, that's what most lawyers do. In fact, there's certain law firms that send you a contract before they answer any of your questions.
That makes it a little unfair.
It's not the way I choose to do practice my profession, but their response will be, you cannot talk to a lawyer until you sign a contract. In our firm, we will be happy to answer questions. Quite frankly, the people who answer the phone for us and take these inquiries, thousands of them every single year, can answer some questions. They've been trained to do that. But if somebody has got a question that can only be answered by a lawyer, then a lawyer, including me, will get on the phone and walk through that with the potential client. And we don't ask that a contract be signed under those circumstances. We just listen and give some suggestions on where to go from here. But let's assume that you call our firm, have that conversation, and you want to see a fee agreement. We send that fee agreement by email, and it's set up for electronic signature. So it's like any sort of a real estate contract you may have signed or lots of other things. You get a document and you can review it. We tell everybody who gets it that if they got a question about it, reach out to us and we'll explain it. But we have attempted to make our agreement very simple and straightforward. It is 2/3 of one page and 1/2 of a second page. And that's it. I think there are 8 paragraphs, none of them over 4 lines on the first page. And on the second page, there is a list of expenses that we'll get to that in a minute. And that's it. So there are other firms that are sending out 15-page contracts by text message and want people to sign that contract before they can talk to a lawyer.
You know, I think if I were injured and I got a contract that was 15 to 20 pages long, first of all, I'm injured. I'm still going through this recovery process. I'm not going to feel like sitting down and reading through 15 or so pages to better understand what I'm signing. That's a tough spot to be in.
Well, they don't read it.
Of course not.
The fact of the matter is we are so used as consumers to getting sent a document that is pages and pages and pages of pages in small print, and it's accept or reject. And if you want the service or the good, you sign it. And if you don't, you don't. There is no negotiating. There's nobody to ask questions to. Many times, we're so used to it now as consumers that we just assume that the contract is the industry standard.
Yeah.
And if I could drive anything home today, just one point, it would be this. There is no industry standard for lawyer contracts. Different law firms approach it differently. In fact, different law firms approach it very differently. And by signing some contracts, you will be giving up certain rights and opportunities and incurring certain expenses that you would not have to sign if you signed another contract.
You know, for me, this is before you get to that point of signing the contract. For me, the hardest part would be, well, let's say, for example, I was in a car accident where a delivery driver for some company XYZ ended up running into me and I was injured badly and I was looking at a lifetime of disability, you know. The hardest part for me would be to wrap my head around thinking, well, this company hired this guy who had three DUIs. Why did they hire him? Because he turns out was drunk the day he hit me, whatever the case is. But it's hard for me to wrap my head around, should I sue this company for however many dollars because of this injury? Because I can't picture going through the rest of my life with, you know, maybe with one leg. Who knows what the case is? But it's hard to get over that first fact. Well, they seem like a nice person.
Yeah, I mean, this is once again why people just would benefit from talking to a lawyer, especially when it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
That initial consultation is free for the vast majority of people who do what I do. People make the best decisions when they're armed with information. And that information has to come from somebody you trust. It can be easily double-checked on the internet, although the internet, of course, isn't necessarily right. But my point is, gather information and make an informed decision. Don't just assume that things will work out or that you're going to be treated fair. Quite frankly, and I mean no disrespect when I say this, as a consumer in that situation, you don't know what fair is.
Yeah.
You know what you think is fair, but chances are, unless you're unusual, you don't know what legal rights you have or how those matters are customarily handled in the world of litigation. And as I said, no disrespect intended whatsoever, but this is a fact. You don't know. Yeah. And therefore, why not get some advice? Where at least get some information.
I agree. You know, in my clear state of mind right now, I'm uninjured. I'm thinking, well, heck yeah, you need to file a lawsuit against this company because they're at fault for hiring this guy who ran into you. But, you know, if I were injured, my state of mind would be that, you know, I kind of feel sorry for myself right now. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm not at all thinking clearly about my future.
Well, and there's just a lot of people who by their very nature are procrastinators. They don't want to make a tough decision today or an important decision today. They'll just put it off. Let me give you a classic example. I mean, I got a call yesterday at 4:30 p.m. from someone whose legal rights are going to be gone in 11 days.
Wow.
They have waited 54 days to talk to a lawyer. Now, to be fair to them, they went through something very traumatic. It disrupted their life. They've got children to take care of. I understand how that can happen. I don't assign any fault for that, but think about it.
Yeah.
11 days to try to find a lawyer who's got the time to devote for it on that schedule. Lawyers who do good work, the best lawyers, are extremely busy. I mean, I literally, Scott, just set something on my calendar for 2026.
Wow.
Okay. We have a lot of time commitments, some of which can't be changed. And the delay can affect your ability to get high quality representation.
Well, let's talk about that timeline real quick. So if you get hurt, how many days, how many weeks, years do you have to actually do something about that injury to where you get compensation from the company to pay for your medical bills or okay. whatever it is.
In Tennessee, the general rule is, there's a couple of exceptions, but the general rule is you have 1 year from the date of the incident which caused injury to take legal action. So if something happens to you today, November 14th, you have until, I always say, November 13th of 2025 to take legal action. That what I just said is 100% correct. In most cases, it's never shorter than that, except in cases involving, well, there's a couple of exceptions to it, but let's just work under the 1 year. But if you want to try to resolve something before you file a lawsuit, you've got to get a lawyer involved much earlier than that. Because the lawyer has to do an investigation, the lawyer has to gather medical records, the lawyer has to understand how this injury affected your earnings. If you've got an injury that with a long-term problem, the lawyer's got to understand and find evidence to back up of what your future medicals are going to be, over what period of time, and how this injury has affected your ability to work and earn money over your work life expectancy. It takes months of work. So if you wait 10 months, 11 months to talk to a lawyer, not only is there the risk that evidence is gone and that sort of thing, but you've basically foreclosed the opportunity to settle the case before filing a lawsuit.
So you have 1 year since that accident or injury occurred. And so once you finally make the decision to move forward and hire an attorney, this does not mean you're instantly going to court, does it?
No. I mean, I don't know the percentage statewide. I can tell you in our office, 65% of cases are resolved without filing a lawsuit. And then of all the cases where a lawsuit is filed in Tennessee, 98% of those are settled before trial.
Okay, so what does all this look like? Does this mean that the lawyer is going to file, you know, a lawsuit in the court system and set a date for a trial? Or does this mean they're going to put the court on notice in some way and say this is what's happening?
In the vast majority of cases, there will be some effort to settle the case before a lawsuit is filed. And as I said before, in our office, about 65% of the time, we'll be able to do that. If a lawsuit has to be filed, you launch into a formal exchange of information with the lawyer for the person you're bringing the lawsuit against. It's called the discovery process. And you will not be able to get to trial in most counties in the state for at least a year and a half. And sometimes 2 or 3 years. In Shelby County, it's going to take you 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
In Knoxville, it's going to take you over 3 years. Shelby County's the slowest system. Rutherford County is about like Nashville, a year and a half to 2 years.
That sounds pretty good. I mean, 1.5 to 2 years or so, that would make sense to me.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I will say that the court systems in Nashville and in Murfreesboro work pretty dang well. The judges care. They show up. They want the lawyers to move the cases along. Now, some cases take longer because of the complexity.
Okay? Yeah.
I mean, just by way of an example, one person suing another person is usually a case that can be handled relatively quickly, especially as compared with one person suing five people.
Yeah.
Because those five people on the other side mean five different law firms. The person who brings the lawsuit has one. So that's six different law firms involved in one case. Therefore, you're trying to accommodate the schedules of six different lawyers.
Man.
I've already told you I've got stuff in 2026. Therefore, as you increase the number of people you sue, you increase the amount of time it's going to take for the case to resolve just because of scheduling difficulties.
Okay, so we're at that point where we're ready to sign a contract with an attorney that we want to hire. We signed the contract, but within that contract, how do you break down things like, well, we're going to have an expert witness who is a medical doctor. They're going to have to testify. We have to test, you know, product XYZ to make sure it works properly. What goes into all of this?
Well, let's move back a half a step. And because your question assumed that the contract has been signed.
Okay.
Let's not sign it until we read it.
Good
idea. Then after we read it, if we don't understand it, let's make sure we get questions answered to our satisfaction before we sign it. So the contract will address a couple things. Every contract will address who the claim is against. So if, using your example before, Jim Smith brings a claim against XYZ Trucking Company, the contract will say you have employed so-and-so law firm to bring a claim against XYZ Trucking Company for a wreck that took place on November 14th, 2024. So that defines the scope of the representation. Okay, that's going to be the same in most agreements. Next, there'll be a discussion of the attorney's fee. How much is the lawyer going to charge? Almost all personal injury lawyers will work on what is called a contingent fee, which means they get a percentage of what they recover for the client. So unlike, for instance, if you get arrested for a DUI or shoplifting or something like that, a lawyer who represents you, a criminal defense lawyer, is going to want a certain amount of money up front. It'll be X number of dollars, and you pay up front, and that lawyer promises to represent you in that matter for that amount of money. A personal injury lawyer will say, you don't have to pay me anything up front, but if we win this case at the end, I get a certain percentage of what I recover on your behalf.
Okay.
That percentage in Tennessee is going to vary between 33 1/3%, and 45% is the highest I've ever seen. In automobile and truck wrecks, we're talking about Jim and XYZ, that type of case right now, our firm charges 33 1/3%.
Okay.
As I said, I don't know anybody who charges less. And the reason we charge 33 1/3% is because that's what I've been charging for 43 years. So that's what I do. But there are other firms and more firms that charge 40%. So you think about it. Well, okay, 33 1/3 to 40, that's a 6%, 6 2/3% increase. Not really. It is 6 2/3 percentage point increase, but the fees are 20% higher.
Ah, yeah.
So look at this. You have a case that's worth $60,000. A lawyer who charges a third would get a fee of $20,000. A lawyer who charges 40% would get $24,000. So you're paying a lawyer who charges 40% 20% more than you would pay a lawyer who charges a third. Now, as a consumer, you have the right to pay 50% if you want to. You can pay whatever you want. But the point I'd like people to take away from this is there are lawyers, and it's not just me, there are lawyers out there who charge a third. So when you look at it, you have to say, do I want to pay this law firm who wants to charge 40% 20% more than I might pay another lawyer? And the next question is, well, it depends. How good are the lawyers?
Yeah.
If they're equal, then obviously I would want to save 20%. If the one who charges less is better than the one charging 40, and you say, well, this is pretty Claire. I want to go with the person who's going to give me the best result and charge less. Yeah. If the firm that charges more is worth the extra 20%, then of course you're going to pay them extra. Just know you're paying them extra.
Now, there's a lot that goes into a lawsuit, and they're expensive to begin with because you're reaching out to all these different medical professionals or whatever industry that person's in, industry professionals. I mean, there's a lot that goes into this and a lot of expense that goes into it.
Yeah, there is. And that's another thing. All personal injury lawyers get paid not only a percentage of the recovery, but they get reimbursed the expenses they advance on to prosecute the case. So, for instance, if you need to hire a medical doctor to prove that you were injured in the wreck, and that is almost always required, and to prove that you'd need future medical care, that doctor gets paid to give that testimony. That's not cheating. It's not unethical. He or she gets paid. It costs to take that person's sworn statement, it's called a deposition, between $2,000 and $3,000 right now. Most personal injury law firms would not ask a client to pay that money. They would advance the expense. But some personal injury law firms charge interest on what they advance.
Oh, wow.
So, for instance, one charges 1.5% a month.
How do you know that going into it?
Because it's in the contract.
Wow.
It's in the contract. But other firms like mine, we don't charge interest on those expenses. And you're going to say, well, it's only 1.5% a month. You know, it's like a credit card.
That adds up quick.
It adds up quick. I'll give you an example. We just resolved a case for somebody, and we spent $135,000 out of our pocket to advance the case. It was a big case, okay? Yeah. A very significant case, a man who was horribly hurt. If we had charged interest on that money, we would have charged him an additional $7,000 or $8,000.
These are things I think people need to think about or ask questions about.
That is exactly right. And understand that there is an alternative to it. That's the thing is, people think, oh, this is a form contract. This is what everybody uses. It's like signing up for cable. It is not signing up for cable. It is, or should be, different ways of approaching how professionals approach their contractual relationships with their clients.
Yeah.
And the expense thing is a thing that it's not snuck into the contract. It's there in black and white. But when you get a 15-page agreement on your cell phone, chances are you're not going to read it.
You're right.
And that's why we're talking about it here today.
Again, attorney John Day in studio with us this morning. You've got offices in Murfreesboro, Nashville. I guess the easiest thing to do, find you online and then go from there.
Or call me at 615-867-9900.
Again, John Day in studio. We're going to take a short break and then we will be right back.
At Middle Tennessee Electric, we see the lines that link us all, illuminating our neighborhoods, empowering our businesses, and helping us to recharge. Because we believe in the power of good energy. Whether it comes from our grids, the sun, or a kind heart. And as your family and our region continue to grow, you can trust that we'll always be there for you. Middle Tennessee Electric, bringing good energy.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Let's work together to help ensure your finances can keep up with your unique needs over the long haul. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for an appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
We're powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE is proud to serve this incredible community and is thankful for you, a trusted member.
This is Peter Demas. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. A lot of times when you get steamed vegetables such as broccoli or cauliflower, it's either soggy. one of the things that we wanted to do was make certain that it was still soft, but still had a little bit of a crunch to it. And so we worked on the procedure of how to cook that. And then all of our vegetables are seasoned with our seasoned salt. We keep that seasoned salt at home, and I can tell you almost all the vegetables I cook at home have the seasoned salt on it. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Dave Kivenemi at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street in Murfreesboro. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course. Come out and see us for all of your music needs. We've got guitars, pianos, amps, drums, PA equipment, rentals, lessons, most anything you can think of in the music genre. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church. We're across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come and see us for all your gardening, home, and farm needs. We have a great selection of clothing, farm items, and also our wonderful gift department. Please come see us for all your gift items. And we also have local honey. And if you're interested in being a beekeeper, we do have supplies for that. We have from hives to suits to whatever you need to take care of those bees. We're located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Attorney John Day is in studio with us this morning. His website, johndaylegal.com, talking about signing that contract with an attorney after you get the initial injury and then what goes on from there. So you sign the contract, and then what happens next?
Well, I'd like to address one issue before we sign that contract, because there's one other thing that you should look for.
Okay, all right. So before we sign it.
Well, yeah, just because there's one thing that we're starting to see in fee agreements is lawyers saying, if you have a dispute with me, you don't have the right to go to court about it. You agree to go to arbitration, and you agree to pay half the cost of the arbitrator. And if we win that dispute, you have to pay our attorney's fees.
Man.
So there's a couple issues with that. Number one, it's perfectly legal for a contract to have an arbitration provision in it. But when you agree to arbitrate, you give up the right to go to court. You give up the right to a jury trial. And you have to pay the judge, the arbitrator. In Tennessee, you pay for a judge every single day with your tax dollars. And you can file a lawsuit and go to court for $330.
Man.
Arbitration, the judges cost $300-$500 an hour. I mean, I had one arbitration that I was involved in over a decade ago. The trial lasted a little over a day before we settled, and the arbitrator was paid $50,000. Okay, $50,000.
That's wild.
And then if you have a dispute and you lose in court with your lawyer, and you lose in court, everybody walks away unhappy. In arbitration, under these types of provisions, if you lose, you have to pay your lawyer's attorney's fees. Not illegal, okay? The question is, are there alternatives available? And I will tell you that most lawyers in the state of Tennessee do not, including me, we don't put that kind of thing in our contract. We like to think we're never going to make a mistake. We're going to do the right thing. If we do make a mistake, we'll work to correct it and try to make sure our client is happy. Obviously, there's a risk of a lawsuit, I guess. And if that would happen to happen, then the court system is the way to resolve it, and not in some conference room somewhere with a private judge that you have to pay by the hour.
You know, we only have 1 minute left, but throughout this conversation, I could not stop thinking that it is really important to, number one, first, find a good, reputable lawyer, and second, find one who's down to earth when they talk to you. That way you can understand everything happening from day one. But you need to find a good communicator as a lawyer who can really communicate to you and your family, this is how this works, and just understand every step of the way.
And that starts with that initial phone call to the law firm and the people who are answering your questions. And then it's followed up by that fee agreement. What does it look like? What does it say? Is it like you're signing a contract with the cable company, or is it straightforward and written in language that you can understand? And if you don't understand it, how promptly will the law firm answer your questions? That's a great place for that relationship to start or end. Because if you're getting a runaround, if you can't talk to a lawyer unless you sign a contract, if you're sent a 15-page agreement on your cell phone and you don't have time or you're being pressured to sign it, or there's a bunch of provisions that you now know aren't necessarily in every fee agreement, maybe it's time to look somewhere else.
Attorney John Day in studio with us this morning, online at johndaylegal.com. John, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Scott. Have a great weekend.